This is Digital Story Podcast number 698, July 30th, 2019. Today's theme is Ding Dong, It's the Ring Video Doorbell. I'm Derek Story. I have a Ring Video Doorbell mounted by the front door of my studio. 24 hours a day, it watches and listens for activity within its 180-degree field of view. It's like a mini Truman Show for my neighborhood, and it's far and away the most unique form of photography that I currently use. More about my first week with the Ring Video Doorbell in today's TDS podcast. I had been thinking about this device for a while, but it was always kind of on the, you know, luxury list and not I really need to have it list. And then it went on sale during Amazon Prime days, and I just got the 720p version. There are two versions where it records video at 720p and then, of course, full HD version. And the 720p, even at normal price, is $99. You can get it right now for $99. In fact, I'll have a link in the show notes. So if you're interested in this device after listening to this show, go over to the show notes and click on the link there. So I went ahead and got it. And in case you're not familiar with the Ring Video Doorbell, I'm going to bring you up to speed on it because it's really interesting. It's a battery-powered device, and the battery lasts for a really long time. I mean, we're talking about months that this battery lasts. Now, you can wire it to your doorbell wiring if you wish, but I didn't want to because I wanted to keep my regular doorbell, in part because I didn't know if I was going to like this thing or not, okay? But also in part because I like the regular doorbell for those folks in the world that want to use a regular doorbell when they come to my studio. And then I have the Ring Video Doorbell across from it. It is, you know, the more modern version. The other problem I had with my doorbell was that it was placed in the wrong position. I really wanted the ring to be facing out from the door and not on the side of the door. So there's that as well. At any rate, so I'm going the battery route, which I'm, after 1 week, I am completely fine with. I mean, this battery is serious. It's a very good battery. So it's a self-contained unit. You mount it on the wall near your front door or anywhere that you want, and it has a mounting plate that's easy to do. It only took me a few minutes to do that. And in fact, it even comes with a cute little bubble level that fits, snaps onto the mounting plate so that you can make it level, which I thought was really cool. I thought that was a super nice touch. So you put the mounting plate on the wall, and then you snap the Ring Video Doorbell into the plate. And then it has a couple of security screws that go up in the bottom with a specialty kind of hex wrench kind of thing. Something that people wouldn't normally carry around so that they can't steal it. I mean, you don't want people to steal your Ring Video Doorbell. However, if they did, you would have video of them doing it, which I think is sort of an interesting notion. At any rate, I do have the security screws in there because I don't want to tempt fate with that. So once you have that all mounted wherever you're going to mount it, and again, I mean, this did not take long at all, probably 20 minutes, something like that. I mean, it was very easy. It gets more involved, like I said, if you want to use the wiring from your doorbell so that you don't have to depend on the battery for power. I think most folks probably just go with a standalone, and especially since the battery lasts so long, why not, right? Why not leave all of your options open? Once you get it mounted, then you connect it to your router, you know, to your Wi-Fi network. And if you have multiple Wi-Fi networks, I recommend that you pick the one that you don't use for your laptops and all your normal work. You know, use a separate network just for an added layer of security. I haven't read anything about security problems, but it seems like a nice way to go, to have it on its own network, or at least a network where you don't have sensitive data flowing. Now, it has to be able to talk to your router. I mean, this is probably one of the most important aspects of this device. And when you use the app, and I'll talk more about the apps in a second, you actually get a strength rating in the app for how well the Ring video doorbell can talk to the router. Now, in the case of the studio where I'm testing it, it's not a problem because the router is downstairs and the video doorbell is downstairs, and they're not that far apart. I would say they're maybe 30 feet apart, something like that. So strength, Wi-Fi strength, isn't a problem for me at all. I haven't had any problems. However, I have read of folks who do have problems when the router is too far away from the video doorbell. So let's say that you have a big house and your router is in the back or upstairs or, you know, somewhere far away, and your video doorbell is in the front, then you could run into some connectivity problems, and you'll see that on the app. In that instance, then I think you'll probably have to get some sort of a relay set up so that you can have, you know, the signal be stronger near the Ring video doorbell. So that, and I would say that this is probably the number one caveat I would warn you against using this device, is make sure that it can talk to your router and that your router isn't too far away, or that you have some sort of relay so that the signal is good. Once the signal is good and it's established connection, and you go ahead and create an online account, use an app either on your iOS device, on your Android device, or on your computer. Ring has apps for all these things. Then you have all sorts of options. And this is where I think it gets really interesting. So the device has a 180-degree field of view, nice and wide, and then it monitors for motion within that field of view. Now, with the app, you can set up, you know, how far out do you want it to be sensitive in, to motion? You know, do you want it closer to the door, or do you want it to stretch out a bit? And you can even do left and right and things like that. So I love that. I think that's pretty smart, and that really helps with getting, you know, false positive messages all the time when it's just picking up. You know, every time a car goes down the street, for example, you don't want it picking that up on motion detection. You want to move it back from that. So you set up the motion detection so it's monitoring more or less the area that's important to you. Now, of course, the most important area is right at your front door, right? Right at the front porch. I mean, that's really what this thing was designed for. And, you know, that's, you know, job one right there. What's fascinating for me, of course, is that my studio is in a townhouse complex. I got it a number of years ago. I bought it a number of years ago. And I really like it here, and I like my neighbors, and, you know, I like the environment. It's just a great environment. But it's also an environment that has a bit more activity than if you had a single-unit family home on a regular street. So, you know, that makes not only the motion detection interesting, it also makes sort of this Truman Show sort of interesting as well. So it's monitoring 180 degrees, and when it detects motion within the field that you've established, it lets you know. And in my case, since I wear an Apple Watch as well, I actually get a notification on my Apple Watch that my Ring video doorbell has detected motion. And if I want to see what's going on, then all I have to do is open the app on my iPhone or my computer, and it shows all the recent video recordings, because when it detects motion, that also kicks the video recording into gear, and it records, oh, I don't know, about 30 seconds or so of video to go with that motion detection. So you can see what caused, you know, the motion monitor to be alerted. And most of the time, at least in the case of my studio, it's just somebody walking by, right? They're not coming to my door, but because of the proximity, the closeness of our living quarters here, It could be just someone walking by as opposed to someone coming physically up to my door. This is fascinating to me as a photographer and as a student of human nature, because I'm just sort of seeing, you know, I'm learning like the habits of everyone around me that at a level that I never really thought about before or never, you know, really, you know, cared about before, still don't really care that much. But it is fascinating because it's pretty much like sitting at your front door with the door open 24 hours a day and just, you know, watching the world go by. It's sort of like that. And it's really interesting. And then at night, it also has a night vision mode. So this isn't just during the day when there's daylight. It has this wild kind of crime show, black and white video camera recording mode. So it picks up motion at night and it can record video at night as well. Now, if someone comes to the front door, it does have a button and they can press it to ring the doorbell, hence the name. And in that case, you are notified also on your various devices that have the app running in the background. And if you wish, you can converse with them. You can talk into your app and they can hear you through the speaker on the Ring video doorbell. They can talk back to you and you could have a discussion even if you're like somewhere else, even if you're not anywhere near the place where this is happening. And if you choose not to talk to them, that's fine as well. And of course, the video is recorded. Now, this has been great for deliveries from USPS for me because they don't necessarily ring the doorbell, but when they come to drop a package off at the front door, especially here, we have lockers, but we only have two lockers for all 40 units in this townhouse complex. So a lot of times there'll already be packages in the lockers. So then the mailman, they have to drop the package off at the front doorstep, which I don't like, but you know, what are they gonna do? The lockers are full. So now with the Ring video doorbell, when they do that, I can see the guy in uniform. I can see him dropping off the package. I know what time it happened. And if it's important and if I'm around, then I can go get it or ask my neighbor to go fetch it for me so that it's not sitting out on the front porch while I'm not there. I have found this to be the most useful feature of the Ring video doorbell, which is letting me know when packages arrive. Now, when Amazon delivers a package, at least in our area, many times now they're taking a picture of the package on the, you know, the front porch, and they're sending it to me. So that's kind of cool. And it has a timestamp on it. Amazon's already kind of doing something like that, but everyone else, at least that I work with here, isn't. So whenever anything comes to my front door, I now know when it came and I know what it is. And I like that a lot. I actually really do like that a lot. But beyond all of that, beyond, you know, the practical side of it and the possible false sense of security that comes with this device, there's the awareness that you have a video camera basically that's on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, outside your front door, and you really do get to see the world that lives outside your front door that you normally don't get to see. And as a photographer and someone who likes to study what's going on with people, this has been really interesting to me. It's been fascinating to me to watch the world outside my front door, including we have a stray cat around here that I didn't know about. And he or she has never come to my door for food or help or anything. And looking at the video footage of it, seems to be in pretty good shape. Maybe it belongs to someone, they just let it out at night. But for instance, there's a cat hanging around my front door at night that I never knew was there. And I think that's interesting. And I love stuff like this. What's my take on this less than $100 device that's on all the time, that notifies me when there's activity that I can use with all my other devices. Well, my take on it is that it's a lot more fun than I thought it was going to be. Again, I'm not sure that if it's making, you know, my studio more secure or not. I have other security features here that I, you know, never discussed, but, you know, they're here nonetheless. That's already kind of in place. But in terms of fun and curiosity and, you know, pretty smart technology that doesn't cost very much, I have to say that in my case, the Ring Video Doorbell is a pretty cool device. I've been thinking about, you know, I can save the video footage, right? So I can go to live view with it at any time. So whenever I want, if I want to see what's going on, I can just click live view, look at it on my iPhone and see exactly what's going on in real time outside my front door. When it records motion or when I ask it to record video, I can save that video and I can download it and it goes right into my Photos app. And so then I have this sort of interesting video that I go, you know, could I incorporate that into some sort of project, you know, that would be interesting. There's that side of it. Now, right now, I'm in a trial period for the video storage. So you get 1 month for free. But after that, it's only $3 a month to store your videos. And I think I'm going to go for it because it's really interesting. Then all the stuff that happens is stored online and you can grab it whenever you want. You can download it to your device. You can share it with other people. They have a neighborhood watch app that allows people to share questionable activity or something that they want the other neighbors to know about. You know, there's all sorts of stuff here. And in terms of subscription fee, $3 a month, not very much at all. So I think I'm definitely going to go for that. I thought you might be curious about it. And if you have one, and do you want to share your experiences, please go to this post on the Facebook page and let folks know what you think about it. New Nimble Podcast interview, Chuck Lavelle, keyboardist for the Rolling Stones. Yeah, you heard right. So I have this dynamite interview with the keyboardist for the Rolling Stones, who are, by the way, now touring. They're in the middle of a tour at this very moment. And I have this conversation with him where he talks about his time with Eric Clapton because Chuck was on the Unplugged album, which I think is one of the most dynamite albums ever. He's been touring and recording with the Rolling Stones for years. He's done all sorts of stuff. He's really seen it all. And then on top of that, he's a writer. And I ask him, you know, the questions I always ask on these podcasts, you know, what his definition of success is and what advice he has for, you know, upcoming artists. I think you really like it. I'm going to play a snippet from the show right now and let you listen to it. And then I'll jump right back and we'll do a wrap on this. Two more questions for you, both pertaining to be an artist. And the first one is, as an artist, how do you view success? You have had quite a career, but what are the aspects of you being a musician and a writer that to you feel successful?
Well, you know, I think in both cases, it's an opportunity as a writer, as a musician, and as a tree farmer to leave a legacy, to leave the world a little bit better than you found it, to put smiles on people's faces with the music and, you know, not just the smiles, but to create emotions to people. And, you know, in terms of the writing and the books, an opportunity to get people to better understand the practice of forestry, the practice of land management, the importance of wildlife management and so forth. So it's, you know, success to me is if you do things in the right way and you're able to leave a legacy that you're proud of.
That's a beautiful answer. He's an interesting dude, I have to tell you. So if you want to listen to the entire podcast, of course, you can listen to it at thenimblephotographer.com. I have it right there. Podcast is easily marked. You can also listen to it on the Apple Podcast app, on Stitcher, on Google Play, wherever you tune in to your podcast. This is a series where I interview a number of different artists who use different media to express themselves, musicians, illustrators, photographers, of course. I hope you tune in. I hope you subscribe to the podcast. And if you like it, I hope at some point you'll leave a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Stranger Things fan goes viral for not knowing what a dark room is. And this piece is just for fun. It just caught my eye and it made me smile, so I thought I'd share it with you. This was an article that was on Petapixel, and of course I have the link to it in the show notes. Let me read you a little bit from it. A young fan of the popular Netflix show, Stranger Things, earned a bit of internet fame this weekend when they asked a question about the strange red room in the show where Jonathan goes to refine his photos or something. In other words, it was a dark room. Of course, it didn't take long for someone to see the post and share it on Twitter alongside the caption, "Crumbles further into dust," to highlight just how old this question made them feel. And thus, a meme was born. The screenshot quickly showed up on all sorts of different places, got picked up by international news outlets, etc., etc., etc. Meanwhile, responses to the tweet, which has been liked over 61,000 times and retweeted over 13,000 times, began pouring in. Several of the comments were quite harsh, calling the original fan, you know, dumb as rocks and stereotyping all young people as stupid. But we prefer to look at the positive side of this story. As Twitter user Chris Wood wrote, "Hey, give the kid credit for being willing to ask." And by the way, that's the camp that I'm in on this. Not that this stopped us from feeling like dinosaurs or relics of a bygone age, but look at it on the bright side. A whole lot of kids who would not have had the courage to ask this question now know the answer. And here's hoping a few of them pick up a roll of film and give a dark room a try. You know, this kind of falls into line with, you know, having a young person dial a rotary phone, you know, all those kinds of stuff, you know, these tools that are no longer in common use. And actually, when I watched Stranger Things, I'm a fan of the show. I like it a lot. I've already watched the third season. I've always thought, I wonder how many people know exactly what's going on. One of the things that's cool about Stranger Things is that they're pretty accurate. I mean, Jonathan, as a photographer, as a film photographer, using a Pentax SLR, by the way, his technique is pretty spot on. His approach to photography is pretty spot on. What he does in the darkroom looks authentic to me. I mean, whoever wrote that stuff knew about the whole analog film experience. And for me, it was very enjoyable. But at the same time, I also wondered, were folks wondering about this? Like, you know, what is going on here if they've never done any of that sort of stuff? Many of you have, and I think we'll enjoy it. If you haven't watched Stranger Things, it's a pretty cool show, and it's on Netflix. I have a couple updates to my Kickstarter projects. You may remember a few weeks ago, I talked about my swings and misses and my hits with Kickstarter projects. And one of the question marks around that was the lab box, speaking of analog photography, that will allow me to develop film right at the kitchen table in broad daylight. And I have my lab box in hand now. It looks really nicely made. It was definitely worth the wait. I have some single bath chemistry ordered, which makes things very easy for testing film cameras, which is what I'm going to use this for. So it's just single bath, so it both develops and fixes all with one bath. So that's really neat, and I should have that pretty soon. And we'll be able to process my first test roll of black and white film. So I'm very excited about that. I will let you know how it goes, by the way. But so we can check that one off the list. Lab box, they did deliver. It did take them a while, but they worked through all their production issues and got the device to me. And so I'm very happy with them right now. And by the way, they are selling on the open market. If you are interested in this device, it's LABBOX. More about it after I process a roll of film or two. And then today I also received this notice from the Camlin folks, and they're the folks that are making this wonderful, super fast lens that Kickstarter backers are getting for $199. And what they said was, the shipping is coming. We are about to ship this August. The manufacturing is quite fluent. They'll post some pictures soon. And everything seems to be moving along. So I should have this lens by the end of August. This Bokeh Masters. And it sounds like they're going to come through as well. So two of the Kickstarter projects that were hanging out there, one has delivered and the other one is looking very promising. I will update you on both as I get a chance to use them. I have a little bit of Virtual Camera Club business for you. First of all, big thanks to our Inner Circle members, those of you that keep this podcast on the air through your support through Patreon. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, and I highly urge you to do so, just click on the Patreon tile that's on every page of the Digital Story. That'll take you over to our site. You can see what's going on. It's more than just supporting this show. It's more than just providing fuel for new projects such as the Nimble Photographer podcast. Our Patreon members are interesting. We had 5 Inner Circle members at our last photography workshop. You know, how cool is that, right? And I got to acknowledge them at the beginning of the workshop, which I really enjoyed being able to do. So a big thanks to all of our Inner Circle members, and thank you so much for your support. We have a B&H tile and an Amazon advertising tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. They're in the second column there. If you're going to make a purchase, either of those places, especially if you're going to buy something such as what I've been talking about, like the Ring Video Doorbell. You got all excited and you want to buy it. You want to buy it at B&H or you want to buy it at Amazon. Of course, I have a link to it in the show notes. But you can always just go to the tile of the place that you want to shop. Click on it. It'll take you to a specials page. You know, I set that up for fun. You know, once you're there on the specials page on either B&H or Amazon, then just navigate to wherever you want, make your purchase, and we get credit for that. We get credit for that. It doesn't cost you a penny more, but it does help support the site, and I so appreciate it. And again, we have ad tiles for both B&H and Amazon on every page of the Digital Story in the second column. And finally, a huge shout out to our friends at Red River Paper, the folks that make everything that we need for our inkjet printer. I'll be honest with you. It's not just the paper, it's all the stuff that goes with it. The fact that you can just go to one place, just click on one tile, the Red River tile that's on all pages of Digital Story, and have everything that you need in your printing universe right there, that is really nice. And I'm really grateful to have them as a sponsor, but I'm really grateful to have them as a company that provide all the stuff that I love using. They also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. If you haven't experienced the joy of fine art inkjet printing, give it a try and see what you think. And if you have any question at all about the impact it can have, then show what you've created to somebody else. They will let you know how cool it is. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for sponsoring the show. I hope you enjoyed today's stories, and thank you so much for spending time with me. I'll be back next week with more interesting stuff. Until then, have a great week. See you Tuesday. Bye-bye now.